Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Hey, Wayne, can you hear me now?
Yep.
Hey, all right. Dude, the top is freaking out. So we're literally just started the show when I unmuted you. So let me get everything going in here. And for anyone else out there listening, if you can hear anything, you may have to refresh the stream here. My laptop is loving me tonight. I can hear you bumping around, Wayne.
Sorry.
Don't worry, at least you're in. it's more than I was getting to.
Well, you know.
All right, looks like Hank's calling in, too. So we can get him muted. Oh, he disappeared. Okay. Let it be. Fred says he can hear us talk, so that needs to be Shane. You saying I'm banging on Wayne? All right, let's get everything. Guys, give us just a couple minutes. Getting everything squared away here. We have a rough start because my laptop is overheating all of a sudden. So hopefully everything gets up and stays up here. So it didn't be on my deck. Only 100 degrees. What the heck? It's no fun. All right, just a couple people in here. Let's see if I can get in here. Hank, are you on?
Hank. Hello.
Hey, there you are, man.
What's going on?
Hey, not much, man. Just having a rough start to the show because of some technical difficulties out of my laptop. So give me about 2 seconds to do introductions, and we'll just jump right in, man. I don't waste any time. So, for everyone else that has heard us bounce around and jiggling around, this is Getting Sauce Radio. Welcome. Thanks for hanging out with us. I'm Shane Draper, your host. We like to delve into all things barbecue and give you backstage pass to people, places, and things in this industry that you know, that you need to know about. Maybe they can help market your products and help you with your business. You got a cool show. Hank Vaden's on. You guys heard him already check in. Wayne Brown on, who has been working with a lot of guys from the Pitmaster Series, letting them kind of write up in their own words, you know, what their experiences on Pitmaster was this year. And I thought it was really cool. So Wayne and I decided to kind of do a joint effort, if you will. And, you know, Hank was gracious enough to let me reschedule him a couple times to get on here and so we can kind of fully tell his side of the story. So if you guys got any questions for Hank, throw them in the chat room. If you got any questions for me, same thing. You're also welcome to call in. The number is 347-202-0263. You can always check us out at www.drapersbbq.com. And, of course, follow us on Twitter at DrapersBBQ, or you can email me at Shane@drapersbbq.com. So, boys, we'll jump right in it. Wayne, why don't you give us a little background on why you started this series, and that allow me to do some tidying up of the laptop while you do that.
Sure. Let me just make sure that everyone can hear me okay, is am I breaking up any or too loud? Or
you sound great.
Okay, good. I mean, I know, but, you know, I do what I can. So, really, it was just kind of a spur-of-the-moment type thing, like most great ideas happen. You know, I got to go to the finals filming in Lexington, North Carolina, and, you know, I got to see the contestants there and really got to see a lot of, you know, what went on in the show. But it was one of those cases where I'm like, you know, I could talk about it, or I could actually let the people who were there talk about it. You know, nobody wants to hear my point of view. I'm just a judge and a blogger, and, you know, nobody wants to hear my point of view. They want to hear, you know, the people who were in there competing. They were, you know, what their experience was like. So I actually first reached out to Charles and Allie Wilson from C-Dub's Corruption Barbecue Crew. And they're both very good friends of mine, and they decided, hey, you know, you guys want to write about this? And they said, sure, we'd love to. And it just really kind of snowballed from there, you know. Was able to get the viewpoint from Randy from Southern Crunk Burn One Boys Barbecue. And, you know, Hank graciously, you know, chipped in with his perspective on the show. And, you know, I'm working on a few others as well. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I know that it, you know, it takes time for, you know, people to put this together. And, you know, I, you know, completely understand if they just don't have the time to do so, you know, because everyone's busy. They have their day jobs. They have, you know, other obligations. And the fact that, you know, they're taking time out to do this is just totally, you know, it's just totally awesome. So, you know, it's just, you know, it's been a fun ride so far.
Yeah, you know, and the ones that have been posted so far, it was cool to see, you know, Charlie Wilson's take on things, you know, because, I mean, they had a portrayed kind of like, you know, they didn't really know what they were doing, and they were so new, and that's not the case at all. And same thing, I felt bad for Randy because he got beat up, you know, by Meathead Goldwyn, you know, over some things that he didn't even actually say on the show. It was another contestant. And I just felt like these guys have gotten, I won't say a raw deal. I mean, I'm not whining for them. I don't feel, you know, sorry for them necessarily. But having done some things like this myself, I think it's important for people to get the full picture. And, hey, Hank, what's your take on that, man? How do you feel about that?
You know, I'm kind of like you are. They kind of portray some of us that haven't been out on the circuit in the last couple of years, or even the ones that have, you know, that haven't really had a lot of recognition, and especially the, you know, we cook MBN, KCBS, I mean, we'll cook any of it, but if you're not one of the bigger things that's competing every weekend, you know, they kind of portray you as like a rookie, or you didn't really know what the hell you were doing, and, you know, that kind of thing, and that wasn't really the case at all.
No, definitely not, and, you know, I kind of want to backtrack, get your full story, Hank. I mean, you've got a barbecue sauce out, you've got a whole company that caters, and you got a restaurant. I mean, tell us about the stuff that you do barbecue.
Right. You know, we've been cooking comp barbecue for at least 17 years, I know. We started back in late 90s, 97 actually, I think. And, of course, you know, we cooked with other teams. I did when I started, before I started Cotton Patch in 2002. But, you know, since then we've got our own line of sauces, our own line of rubs and seasonings, and then we've got that barbecue restaurant for the last 3 years. And, you know, we've been real fortunate in what we've done. But as I said, we cook mainly MBN because that's where I started out, and I really enjoy that format of cooking. And I love cooking in general and competing. So we started doing the other networks because a friend of mine said, if you really want to be, you know, deemed as a true cook, you need to cook every network and be competitive. So that's how we got to do the other networks. But, you know, like I said, they kind of portrayed it as, you know, if you went out there every weekend and one of the bigger names, you was just, you know, a nobody. And that is not the case. There's some great cooks that cook on this.
Right. I'm still trying to figure out what all the bumping is. I'm pretty sure it's not me, but it may be something in the feed. Oh, stop. Wayne, get off, dude. All right. So, Hank, tell us about your sauces and rub, man. Being a sauce rub company myself, I got to be honest with you, until like about 2 weeks ago, I didn't even know you had a line of sauce and rubs. Tell me all about those.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Tell me about your sauces and rubs. Up until a couple weeks ago, I didn't even know you got any.
Yeah, we've had the sauces and rubs now, I guess probably for the last 6 years. You know, and it started out with the whole competition cooking concept, and everybody came, they put that in bottles and all that good stuff. But a company out of Paris, Tennessee does our sauces, and a company out of Memphis has been doing our rubs ever since we started it. And they've really been well for us as far as getting them out in the public. You know, I really didn't have time doing comp cooking and working a regular job to try to push barbecue sauce. So, of course, we sold some when we went to the comp, and, you know, we got the internet and started selling some on there, but we go through a ton of it now, and we're working with some of the grocery stores that want to put us in there. But, you know, doing all that stuff and trying to run a barbecue joint and then trying to comp cook some at the same time is a pretty hectic schedule.
Oh, sure. And you mentioned that that certain company in Paris. I just realized we're probably bottled on the same line.
They do a real good job. They are the ones that I started out with, and I've been with them ever since. And you know, you can't ask for better.
Yeah, same here. I mean, they've been a great company. They're getting fuller by the day as pick up more and more companies to run with. But yeah, I mean, just a good group of people. So. Who was that?
I don't know, but it was a good band.
It was
what
a good band.
What in the world was going on there?
I don't know, man. Who's sabotaging me here?
I blame Rempy. You know, he made his cameo appearance in the chat room.
Yeah, no doubt, man. No doubt. It sounded like someone hit play in the feed. Of course, I got bumped out just for a second, so I'm wondering if it let someone else log in here who decided to hit play. Not helping me, guys. Not helping. So Hank, you've been obviously doing it for a while, man, and that's what I like about your story. And especially being an MBN guy, I mean, I'm a little partial to MBN myself. You know, my thought with MBN is that you can cook a pretty fair product as long as you can bullshit, you'll end up, you know, washing out, you know, pretty well.
And you know, that's true. But at the same time, you've gotta go through the blind to make it to the big show. And you know, once you get to the finals, you can bullshit your way through it some. You know, if your product's there, but you've got to get through blind, and it's just as I think it's just as hard in blind and MBN as it is KCBS.
Well, you certainly can't win unless blind box is good. I mean, that's true. You can help yourself a little bit, you know, with the on-site portion, but if it's not there to begin with, you're right. You win, you'll just be in that top 10, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And, you know, the way I look at it, every contest we go to, I go to win. You know, if you do this shit for a living, and I've heard so many people, I do it for the fun of it. Well, that's true, but in that case, to me, you hear somebody say that they've not won a whole lot.
Right.
If they ever win one time, it'll change the perspective of going to a contest. Yeah.
Well,
sure.
in my opinion.
It sure is a hell of a lot more fun to win.
Yeah,
oh,
it's a
yeah.
hell of a ride home when you've had your shit handed to you.
Well, and we've all had those rides more than a few times.
I got to watch my mouth, too. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're all right, man. This is the internet. You can say whatever you want. It's all good, man. Don't talk bad about John Marcus, so rip me a tell him.
John was a great guy. I heard you mention one that I don't have a whole lot for, but a guy told me, well, Wayne, as a matter of fact, we were kind of talking email, and you got the artist, and then you got those that are critics. And Meathead, in my opinion, is a ass.
Well, and you're right. He's a little overwritten, if you will, a little, you know. But technically speaking, he's fantastic. I mean, I love the stuff he writes from a technical standpoint. And I've read him for a while now, but I did not agree with the articles he did on the Pitmaster series. I just think he got a lot of it wrong, and a lot of it because he's not out there.
Well, you know, I read the one that you wrote about me and talking about being a rookie, and that's fine. I don't care what you say, but hell, he said I cooked on a vertical cooker or a long horizontal vertical cooker, something like that, and I cooked on a JOS and a Backwoods. They're both upright vertical cookers, and they're indirect water smokers.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, if you're going to say something about me, at least have your facts straight when you go to slamming.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not like I'm a bitch kind of guy. I can take the trash talk. I'm good at it. I enjoy it.
Well, and that's just it, you know. And to a T, I've not heard any contestant on that show that have said anything bad about it. They've all, and that's the thing about barbecuers, you can get a pretty stacked deck and a pretty crappy experience, and we'll still be thankful that we got to show up and cook for the most part. But, you know, your episode, when being right out of episode one, that episode bothered me more than any of the other episodes. I mean, it wasn't the brisket, you know. I think most guys can cook brisket, although there's plenty of whining that they showed on there about the brisket, you know. I'm here to cook ribs. I just cook ribs. Well, dude, the show is pit master, not rib master. You know what I mean? That irked me a little bit. And then, you know, the stuff that went on with the tri-tip, I could hear everybody on the left coast there just screaming at the TV.
And I know everything about barbecue. I'm by no means Mr. Barbecue God, but hell, I had never seen a damn tri-tip, let alone cook one. But, you know, when I looked at it and I put it in that article, me and Richard looked at each other, and I know that when you watch the show, they said, damn, that was like Shaggy and Scooby-Doo the way we looked.
That's right.
But, you know, it's just a piece of meat, and I said, it looks like a steak. Hell, let's cook it like one.
That's right. You know, it was, like I said, it was a tough episode, but you know, I didn't realize until you and I talked here a couple weeks ago that it came down to one point between you being moving on to the next episode or not.
Yeah, wasn't that special? I was so pleased. You know, if I'm going to get beat, I just assume get my ass kicked to get beat by one point.
Yeah. What category was that in? Do you remember?
They actually didn't tell us. I'm assuming it was a cumulative score. Is just a function, and it's about it, and I got beat by 1 point. But, you know, I don't have no idea which category killed me. I mean, watching the show, and I watch the episode, and every time I watch it, I get mad as hell, thinking, why did I do that? And I wonder, well, was it? And I felt pretty good with my brisket. Well, I felt real good with the brisket. I thought it was really good. And we both felt good with the tri-tip, Richard and I. But, you know, I did sweet. I screwed up maybe a little and put two different flavor profiles on the tri-tip because we had two pieces of it. And I went one with a traditional steak flavor tri-tip, you know, with the garlic and the juicy flavor. Then I put kind of a southwestern flair on the other. So I actually had two different flavor profiles in the box. And Meyer, of course, does not like sweet. And so that may have geeked me. Who knows? You know, hindsight's 20/20, but it was a great experience. And you see what all goes on, you know, behind the scenes with shooting a show. And we had done a few other things before the Pitmaster, but, you know, it was nowhere to the extent of that. You know, and when you're cooking a comp, you got your timeline and you're doing your thing and you've done it, so you know what you're going to do, but then you got to, well, let's do this again. And just throw y'all off on your routine.
Right. Yeah, I can see that. Now, I mean, you mentioned you were on site for the filming. I mean, give us your you know, kind of a bystander take on, you know, how big the production was and some of the things that you saw.
It was literally, for every contestant, there was a camera in your face nonstop, constant, you know. So, you know, to me, you know, what it looked like was they were just sitting there filming, you know, waiting to catch, you know, the juiciest tidbits to get, you know, rolled into production so that it makes for, you know, great drama and great television. But really a lot of, you know, the interaction between contestants, it was a lot just like a normal barbecue competition. Obviously with a film crew there was a lot of the filming going on. I couldn't see, you know, like Hank said, you know, they were, you know, you were doing something and they said, oh, well, let's do this again. Let's film this again. That part I didn't see because I was kind of just going all over the place where the filming was taking place, and just didn't really, you know, I didn't catch all of that. And that's, you know, some of the parts that really interested me was, you know, what was it really like? You know, I could only look from the outside in, and I wanted to see what it was like from the inside.
Right, right. Do you have any questions for Hank?
Hank, I want to know, how has the appearance on Pitmasters really, you know, impacted your business, your restaurant, your sauces and things like that?
Well, First of all, I've had to buy a lot of TVs because, you know, with my gracious looking face, I've torn away.
I feel you pain there.
A lot of people, we've had a bunch of customers, and I had no idea how many people watch. You know, I know barbecue has grown over the years by leaps and bounds, but, you know, a lot of people have come in, and that hadn't been coming in the restaurant, and, you know, we saw you on Pitmasters, and I felt the hell out of them. It smells like a wind t-shirt. We're right down from the Columbus Air Force Base.
Okay.
And these guys come in every 6 weeks, and they're through the class, and then they're gone. And, you know, they come from Texas, Minnesota, all over the United States, and they saw us on Barbecue Pitmasters. And, you know, but it's really been overwhelming, the sales of the, you know, the sales in the store, the products. Everybody's buying the rubs, the sauces. And like I said, we sold a bunch of the T-shirts, with, you know, and even my wife says, if I hear you say it smells like a wind one more time, I said, well, it's as easy as everybody to do it, sweetie. But it's really been a great thing for us.
Yeah, I could see that really, you know, really being kind of a catalyst and a kickstarter to, you know, bigger and better things. So tell me, what was it like? I know you wrote about it, you know, in the story, but really just convey to us, what was it like getting that phone call saying you're on?
Well, you know, like I said in your article, I was at a catering job and a girl called me. She's just freaking out. She says, they call from Barbecue Pitmasters. You got to call them right back. And I said, well, I'm feeding 300 people. I don't have time. I'm thinking, yeah, they're bullshitting me. You know, and I'm like, because I didn't tell many people we did it because I had no clue, you know, that they would even remotely think about picking me. And I'm sure everybody was the same way, but we all hope, yeah, maybe we'd get picked. So when I call, I'm like, you're blowing smoke. And I get here and there's, you know, all my girls and all the guys that work for me, and they're like, call them. And I'm like, okay, maybe this is not a joke. But when I called and it was legit, you know, I was, and very seldom am I ever at a loss for words, but I was actually shocked. And, you know, I was like, is this, like, real? You know, I mean, everybody, like I said, get in barbecue and you get that opportunity to, you know, even apply for it or send in an audition tape. You hope in the back of your mind you do it, and then you think, man, what if I get it and I screw it up? You know, so you're thinking both ways of it, but I was really shocked to get that call.
Oh, I bet. And I bet it was an extra nice little touch, you know, finding out it was just going to be, you know, right up the road from you in Tupelo.
Yeah, and, you know, they didn't really tell you that part up front. They tell you, you know, you got it, and then they were going to be back in touch and all that, and you work out the business side. But when I got that part of it, I was like, oh, shit, no. And, you know, cooking for me here at home is either feast or famine. We've got two contests here. And this year they're both KCBS, but used to be one was an MBN cook and the other is a KCBS. And I've either really done real well or I've really done real bad, no in-betweens. And I'm like, damn. And then there's five or six barbecue joints here, and everybody, you know, like I started finally telling them, I was like, don't hate the player, hate the game. You know, I said, you could have sent in an audition tape if you wanted to, but I'm like, Tupelo right here at home, I'm going to either be the laughing stock or I'll be the biggest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I've cleared this up with a couple other contestants, Hank, but tell everybody how much Pitmasters was out of pocket to help
how
you.
Much?
Of course, you know, I know you didn't have to travel very far, but how much did you get paid for your appearance?
Now, we can't talk about all that.
my understanding is it was very little.
No, it was. It wasn't very much. You know, just for the opportunity to do it, it was a great thing. But, you know, that's one of those things we can't really talk about. But, no, we didn't make billions of dollars by no means.
Right. Yeah, my understanding off the record from a couple of other contestants was it was very small. And we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, that's the best way we can leave it.
Yeah. All right. Don Geiger asked, and I don't want to steal Wayne's question, but I'll toss it over to him. But he asked, you know, what would you enter season four?
Would I enter season four?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, I'd enter season four. I got to have a little redemption.
There you go. There you go.
But, by the same token, from what I understand, and this is just strictly, you know, barbecue teams know all the shit. When this come out, I had a guy call me about it, and it was like 2 days before the end of the auditioning. And said, if you heard about Pitmasters, I said, hell, I don't even know nothing about where to send nothing in. And he sends me the link and all that, and we do it. But I've heard several of them say they're already casting for season four, but they kind of done a regional thing. So
that's my understanding as well.
So I don't really know what that's all about, but you know, if it's certain states, and from what I understand, Mississippi's not in it, Alabama's not in it. You got some damn cooks that you're kind of leaving hung out. And then, of course, you got cooks all over the United States, but they're doing it regional. So I don't know what the deal is on that.
Well, you know, my comment when I seen Mississippi specifically wasn't on there. Most of the best Memphis cooks are actually out of Mississippi, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah,
all
absolutely.
All of them.
All of them.
Yeah.
No bias. Wayne, do you have any other follow-on questions, and then I'll take it back for a couple.
No, that was the one I was going to pose. Was you know, what were your thoughts on the whole, you know, regional breakdown for the season 4 auditions? And you know, you pretty much, you know, hit the nail on the head with, you know, the way I was thinking is you're leaving out a heck of a lot of good teams, you know, just by limiting it to, you know, a certain number of states.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree with that as well.
And then the natural progression for that point is, you know, are you going to be required to cook whatever your region's specialty is, which, you know, if you're looking at North Carolina, you're going to be confused as hell because it's either going to be shoulder or whole hog depending on what side of the state you're in.
Right. Yeah, I think so too.
Then you've got different flavor profiles for every region.
Right.
So it's going to be hard to, you know, judge. I guess you're going to judge the region more so than the barbecue.
Yeah, you know, I'm wondering if they're just asking for teams from those regions, but I highly doubt they're going to get too particular about having to score on that region. I mean, good tastes good regardless of where it's at. And I don't know how you can regionalize it and then score based off that. Because if you do that, then you need a panel of judges or experts for every region. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think they're going to budget for that.
Yeah. It's a lot of questions out there. You know, it's you know, pretty wide open. You know, especially with that regional limitation. You know, how are they going to judge? You know, who's going to go around and judge? Is it going to be a single set of judges for, you know, for all the regions, or are you going to have individual judges for each distinct region? I mean, it's a lot of questions are out there.
Yeah, I agree. So let me do this this read for Mojo Bricks real quick. Hang on, and let me cash a little check for Fred Gross, since he's in the chat room. Otherwise, you know, I would ignore him. I forget Fred all the time. I'm sure he'll have a comment for that. But I don't know if you guys, Wayne, I think, have you tried the Mojo Bricks? You just use them at Memphis in May this year.
Yeah, I have. I've used the cherry. I've used the oak. Love it.
Cool. Hank, have you ever got a hold of any Mojo Bricks?
You know, I mean, I've got some, but I've never used them.
Oh, you got to try them. They're fantastic. I'm a big fan of them. I mean, they're basically a giant wood pellet. You know, they use nothing but just pressure to hold all these wood shavings and sawdust together. It's from high quality hardwoods. You know, it's all single species stuff. You know, it's fantastic. I'm a big fan of their cherry, but they have hickory, maple cherry, red oak. I know pecan's coming out, and the reason why I love them is just consistency. I throw one brick on, I get the same amount of smoke every time. I can count on it, I can bank on it, and I can add that smoke exactly in my cook where I want it, on a stick burner or on a backwoods or anything like that. I mean, they're great. If you guys haven't checked out Mojo Bricks, check them out, www.mojobricks.com. You can call Fred Gross at 773-398-192 or shoot him an email at info@firewoodbricks.com. I'm telling you guys, the wood chunks and chips, I've stopped taking them. All we go with when we run a stick burner are Mojo Bricks. Take charcoal and Mojo Bricks, and it works. I compete with crappy old blue bag Kingsford that does the job, and I throw Mojo Bricks on top, and it brings home trophies. So go check them out. All right. So let's jump back in it a little bit. Going back to your tape a little bit, Hank, what do you think it was about your audition tape that may have helped them pick you?
Well, you know, as I said, I do NBN barbecue mostly, and we've just, you know, I ain't gonna say we just started. We've been doing KCS for 2 or 3 years. I fortunately have the gift of gab, and I can bullshit with the best of them. And I'm very confident with what we do. You know, going out every weekend and cooking against Myron Mix and Melissa Cooks and Patrick Warren Grillers back when we was all cooking pretty hard, you either got to get real tough real quick to get in the game or get out, one of the two. So my audition tape was very confident. I was confident with my product. I don't mind talking trash with anybody. I don't start nothing, but I've never been one to back up from it. So if you start talking trash, you're going to get trash. But I think that's what got me was the fact, you know, that helped me with the audition is with the confidence and more or less the BS and we like to do and carry on.
So, yeah, I know some guys have some campy and fun clips and stuff, and they even say, you know, comedy doesn't hurt, you know, for those audition tapes. So it's kind of cool to, you know, that you're kind of straightforward with it.
Yeah, I don't pull no punches. There's really no gray areas with me. Now, in saying that, I watch several, you know, because you're in that period when you send your audition tape in and you start hearing about them on YouTube. So I watched a lot of them, and I thought, shit, mine's not even nowhere near funny. It's probably going to think this redneck some bitch is a smart ass. But, you know, a lot of them are really comical and put a lot of effort in them. We just more or less put it out there that we could back up what we said we would do, and we weren't scared to cook against nobody. And, you know, that's pretty much the scenario of it. That's the way we are.
Yeah.
But so, now the one I saw that I thought Big Mister put out one that was outstanding. He did a great job.
Yeah, I was hoping they would pick his. I mean, he has such a great on-air personality anyway, but he's fantastic.
Yeah, his audition tape was awesome.
Yeah. So, what's your take on the meat, Hank? Do you think it should just be straight up four category, or should it be anything that's on the cow, pig, or chicken, or should it be anything under the sun? I mean, what do you think they ought to be cooking?
Well, no, I don't think it should be anything under the sun, because I told them right up front when we did talk, if you pull out any damn snakes, my ass is out of there. And, you know, you don't cook a damn snake in a comp. I think they should all be comp meat that you cook, and if you wanted to throw maybe a steak or something that's not so damn unusual, something you're familiar with, just because you're a pit master or, you know, you're a competition cook, doesn't mean you know every damn thing about every gut of the cow or the hog or all that shit. I mean, give them what they're familiar with doing, and if you want to throw something a little unusual at them, that's one thing. But don't give them something out of left field. And I'm not saying that the tri-tip was out of left field. It is a damn bottom cut of a sirloin, but, you know, in Mississippi, we don't cook shit like that.
Right.
And now, everybody and their damn brother comes in and wants to know if I got tri-tip. I'm like, hell no, I don't know
about that. Nice. Now, you know, even up here in Kentucky, and it's just this year that I've gotten familiar with tri-tip, it's hard to find. But it's a great...
Most of our local grocery stores don't carry it. And if you ask the meat guy, like, well, what are you talking about? I said, tri-tip, bottom round, sirloin, dip roast. Oh, yeah, well, we can order it. But most of them don't carry it, so you've got to really be looking for it.
Right.
It's the same way. It's the same way here in the Carolinas. You know, they're, you know, most of your big box grocery stores don't carry tri-tip, and you ask for it, and they give you this kind of, you know, blank, glossy eyed stare, like, you know, what the hell are you talking about? You know, there are a couple of specialty butcher shops I know here in Charlotte that carry it, but for the most part, you can't find it.
Yeah, here we're fortunate enough to have a couple butchers that actually break down the whole primals into smaller cuts, and a couple of them actually do try it, but that's the only reason we can even get it.
And, you know, talking about that, that's something now that's really hard to find is a true butcher store anymore that actually slaughters and processes the animal, whether it be beef, pork, or whatever. The guy I get my hogs from is in Madison, Mississippi, and he's the only one within a 50-mile radius of me that does that.
Right.
So butcher shops have become a thing of the past. You know, everything... Walmart's prepackaged. Kroger still does a few things. You know, some of your bigger grocery stores still do a few things, but it's hard to find a true meat market now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally agree. Yeah, for me, looking at it from just a spectator standpoint, I don't mind if I'm responsible for everything that comes off a cow, chicken, or pig. That's only because I've really taken the time to learn how to cook all that stuff. But I can understand, you know, the other side of the argument where people are like, no, let's just do four four category. But you know, if we're gonna do that, let's just have it be, let's just go back to filming, following a couple teams around at actual competitions, because that was a great season too, you know.
I agree. I mean, I think season one's format was really a great format to give you the insight of what actually goes into a comp cook. If I'd have wanted to have been on Iron Chef or, you know, one of those, I'd have tried for that. But, you know, I can't cook no damn grape leaves and all that kind of crazy shit. I'm not a chef. I'm a barbecue guy.
Yeah, that's.
I wasn't intimidated with the tri-tip. It's just I was unfamiliar with it.
Right. Well, and, you know, for never having cooked it, I got to say, you certainly didn't screw it up some of the other folks.
Well, I felt pretty good with a tri-tip. Like I said, we cooked it like a steak, you know, and it was what it was. I think, like I said, the two flavor profiles didn't mean in the ass more than anything. But, you know, like I said in the article, we threw the cards out there, and where they fail, you know, and we were just 1 point shy of making it to the final round.
Yeah. Well, let me shift gears on that. You talk about, you know, Iron Chef and things like that. Let's talk about this new season of, you know, Grill or Chopped Grill Master or whatever it's called. Dude, I don't know that I'm happy with them putting a full-blown chef against one of us. I mean, you're talking about a guy, you're talking about a race car driver driving against someone who's racing, you know, go-karts. I mean, that's essentially the comparison, you know. I don't know how I feel about that.
I'm kind of the same way. You know, I don't agree with it, but you know, I don't agree with a lot of things.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad, you know, for that first episode that Ray Lampe did win that one, because the chef they had on there, what was his name, Galen something. That dude was a bit of a tool, but it's cool to see some of the actual hardcore barbecue guys, you know, at least going to make it to the finals. So that's a good thing.
Well, you know, and my take, being a chef is one thing, but cooking barbecue, in your own right, I guess you could say you're a chef in that respect, but most of your barbecue teams very few have ever been to a culinary institute to learn to cook. They've learned it from doing it because they loved it, and they got into it as a hobby, and then it evolved from there. But by no means, I would say, I'm not a damn chef. By the
right.
same token, I've never seen a damn chef that could cook barbecue worth eating.
Well, and that's true, too. And that's the difference between it being a passion and a vocation.
Exactly.
We've learned all that we've learned from passion, not necessarily from a book. And that doesn't mean we learned it correctly.
And, you know, there again, you're cooking for judges. And they're there because they've been through the class, and this is what they was told it's supposed to be like. And then they go from there on the judging respect of it, and they become seasoned judges the more they do it. But, you know, when you're dealing with chefs, you've got the Culinary Institute taught them this and the flavor profiles that go together and the things you got to do. And most of the teams that I know that are still, you know, the cooks, the way we come up learning was, you see that team over there that's kicking everybody's ass, and you go over there and, like, introduce yourself and say, hey, man, what the hell have I got to do to win? And,
right.
and you learn from people passing it down, and, you know, everybody's not going to give you, well, this is my exact rub or whatever. But they'll tell you the things you need to do to get you better. And, you know, most of them will all tell you the flavor profile, something you've got to come up with that you want it to taste like. But this is
right.
what, you know, most of the judges are looking for. And, it's,
yeah,
you know, it's like you said, it's the camaraderie and, you know, the people passing it down from, like I said, it's passion more so than more vocation.
I totally agree. Now, that's not to say some of us haven't made it a vocation. You know, or did a job now that we, you know, have kind of had some success, but there's still a lot to learn. You know, that's just, that's the joy of it, you know.
Every time we go out cooking, and I cook every day, usually through Saturday, every time you go cook or go to a comp, you can learn something. I don't care how small it is, how new the team is, how old the team is, you can always look around, damn, why didn't I think of that? You can pick up something.
Yeah, I totally agree. But we're kind of winding down the last part of the hour, Hank. I kind of want to give you the floor. And, you know, is there anything that, you know, between the article and here that, you know, you want to put out that maybe you haven't yet? Or, you know, the floor is yours. Let's try to get some of your sauce and rub, too, man.
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing that really got me is you go to a barbecue contest, everybody seems to be so close-knit. And I'm never the one who brought this computer shit, and I'm not the greatest computer guy, but I started looking at some of these forums and different things. The thing that really got me was the damn negative comments from various teams, and of course, some of the critics pissed me off. But, you know, I never once watched Pitmasters and said, damn, I can beat that guy, or I can beat that guy, or I could have done it better. You don't know till you're there and actually doing the deal, because there's a lot of crap that went on, and, you know, just like I said before, it throws you off of your routines. But I've never been one to slam on teams and say, I could have done that better. And that's what really amazed me, is how many folks got on there and said, oh, we could have done that better, let Brisket look like shit. You know, you just don't do that, in my opinion. Well, again, right. We roll out to the cook, and that's kind of got me the drive to start cooking again. We're going to be cooking in 2 weeks in Fulton, Mississippi. And I'm probably going to be an asshole to some of them smart asses if they're there. And we're going to say, well, let's bring it, big boy, because that's all, you know, shut up and cook.
Right.
Let the product do the talking. That's what really got me the most. I couldn't believe some of the teams that got on there and dog people, and then they talk about us barbecuers being such a close-knit community. Man, that's a damn hypocrite. But
that's a very good point. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very good point.
It's almost where, you know, the ego kind of crosses into things, and, you know, their ego, you know, gets in the way, say, oh, well, you know, if it had been me, you know, I would have done this, this, and this. And I'm thinking, you know, if you were on the show, you would have had no idea, you know, what was going on. You would have had no idea what you were about to get thrown your way. I mean, you just, you know, prepare as much as you can and hope for the best and, you know, deal with the hand that you were given.
Yeah, I agree. You know, you only have that moment, and it's right there. It's in your face. You got to make decisions. You got to move on with the cook. I mean, it's a tough one. And then you got to live the repercussions forever. You know, and someone makes a snap decision, and you can be a hero or a, you know, an idiot or a villain in that same second.
One point will make you a hero or a zero, huh?
Sure does, doesn't it?
Yep.
Let me throw this hypothetical out there, Hank. I have a gut feeling, and listen, I know I've beat up Carolina Rib King a little bit. It's really his personality that got to me more than anything. You know, and the trash talking to Johnny Trigg and ones like that. You know, and I know it was in good fun, and it probably wasn't aired correctly, so I'll give him a pass on some of that stuff. But I couldn't help but think in that finals. That if you had made it past there, that would have been a completely different result.
Oh, I agree 100%. You know, and I'm going to say this. When we went to Tupelo, and I'm just looking for a pity party here, I had pneumonia. That Wednesday, I went and got two shots, and if you notice, my voice is a little better than it was on the show. I couldn't hardly talk. Felt like shit. But, you know, we had to do what we had to do. And I'm not saying that affected the cook. You know, maybe it affected it some, but like you said, you got it thrown at you. You had to do what you had to do with what you had to do with, and you had to, you know, do your best at it and look good at it so you didn't look like a dumbass. But, you know, shooting TV, and I have a whole new respect for it, is a lot of work. I mean, we shot 3 days for 42 minutes.
Wow. That's crazy.
Those guys that were on the, you know, the field producers, the camera guys, Mark, everybody, I mean, they were constantly, it looked like a bunch of ants building an ant bed, you know, they were constantly running around doing something, and so were we, you know, so you wasn't in that routine of at a comp, okay, I got turn in of chicken, and I've got turn in of ribs, and then pork or brisket or whatever, where the whole hog or shoulders, you wasn't in your realm where you're comfortable at, you were in their time frame, and that, you know, anytime you get out of your routine, it kind of throws a kink in everything.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. It's a tough one, and you know we're about to deal with it as well. We're doing this thing with Chili Pepper Magazine. We go out to Houston and take on Melissa Cookston and a few other teams, four other teams in ribs, the Ultimate Rib Challenge.
Well, Melissa's a damn good cook.
Yeah, to say the least. I know some of these teams were cast as the dark horse or the underdog. And I have no doubt that we've been cast as that in this particular instance for Houston. And I'm not going out there and playing upset to some people. But we're damn sure going to go out there and try to win. I mean, we there ain't going to be no stopping that. We're going to put everything we got at it. And whatever happens, happens.
And, you know, that's the thing, and I put this in Wayne's article. You know, we've cooked against some of the best, and, you know, we've beat some of the best and had real good days, but we've had our damn bad days, too. But anytime you go up against, you know, a cook and you think it's going to be a cakewalk, you know, it's like I said, you test that theory and watch how that ride going home is. You'll get your shit handed to you if you get out there and think you are the god of barbecue.
Right.
And, you know, ask anybody. You don't underestimate anybody, because any given day, it can be their day and it can't be yours. But I'm looking forward. That kind of gets me after reading some of those articles and some of those damn comments, the drive to get back to cooking. And running a restaurant is a job. And a friend of mine told me, like I said in the article, when I told him what I was going to do, he said, your cooking days are over. And you know, it's a busy job to do, but I love what I do. The people are great, and I love it. But I'm going to Fulton, and we're going to cook. And I hear Mr. Davis is there, and Mike's a great guy, and Mr. Trigg's there, and all of those. But I'm going up there with, I guess, the attitude, and I've kind of got good intentions of going to win. I mean, there's no other way around it. I've got a point to prove.
Right.
And we've kind of been off the circuit for a few years, and if you get off, they kind of forget who you are. But, you know, we walk the stage at Memphis and a lot of the big stages, and we've been fortunate with some of the KCBS things. But, you know, you miss a few years, and they're like, who the hell are you? So we're going to
get
out there and prove a point that we're not washed up by no means. We've just been busy.
Right. Well, Hank, man, I really appreciate you hanging out with us, and you're welcome back anytime, my friend.
Well, I appreciate you guys having us. And Wayne, let me tell you, you are a literary genius. You made my rambling look great.
Hey, I'm just glad you. I appreciate you taking time out to, you know, to put your thoughts down. I can, you know, what I wanted to do was to keep the general tone of it, and you know, just the. You know, natural speaking, you know, the gift of gab that you were talking about earlier, I wanted to keep that in there without it just, you know, didn't want to take a lot away from that. And I think it's a good read.
Well, I thought it was, too, you know, after reading, I said, damn, he made me look pretty smart. Because English was definitely not my forte.
Somebody tell my wife that, you know, because, you know, she would never believe me.
Well, guys, I really appreciate you having us on, and, like I said, we're going to get out there cooking and improve a few points, and I look forward to getting back on the circuit a little bit.
Sounds good. Shane, did we lose you? Did we lose
Shane? Sounds like we lost Shane, Mike.
Ah, figures. All right, awesome. Well, thanks for coming on. Thanks for taking time out, and you know, hey, if you ever come out towards the Carolinas, let me know. I'd love to, you know, come out, meet you, and help out and everything.
Actually, I was going to shoot you an email. I was talking with Myron. I think I'm going to actually come and do that Charlotte cook, that NBN cook.
Mm-hmm. Come on. I'll be there. It's 20 minutes from my house. Come on out. Have a good time. Love to meet you.
They say it's a great cook. He said, you know, and I've always wanted to go to the racetrack over there, so I'm looking forward to it. So I'll give you a buzz when we head that way, and they say come out, we'll shoot the bull and have a few cocktails.
Sounds great, man. Well, thanks for coming on again, and we really appreciate it. You're welcome back anytime, like Shane said.
All right, thanks, Wayne. I appreciate you, man.
All right, no problem. All right, Shane, did you ever come back? I'm going to say no, he hasn't come back. So, as he mentioned before, this one's going to be a short show tonight, as Mr. Draper is going out of town on vacation. Lucky him. So I'll go ahead and wrap things up. I'm not sure, you know, if he did any reads, if he did a read earlier at the beginning of the show. I know he did the read for Mojo Bricks, so I'm just going to step in and wing one here. I'm going to talk about the meat rake. It's great stuff. I had a chance to, you know, check it out, review it, and it works as advertised. I used to be owner of a set of bear paws, and I still have them, but only because I've been too lazy to get rid of them. You know, the meat rake is, you know, durable material, you know, longer handles so that your hands aren't so close to the hot food, you're not going to get them burned. You know, it's a great product. So, you know, definitely go check out www.meatrake.com and, you know, order one or two. So,
I don't think he's come back on here. I know we were going to do a giveaway, and unless he comes back in the next couple minutes, I don't have the controls to be able to, you know, put people in that call in. So I'm just going to wing this one again. If you wear an extra large shirt, I've got an extra large Kingsford shirt and a Kingsford hat that I'm looking to give away. First one to email me at bigwainerbbq@gmail.com and say, I want the hat and the shirt, it's yours. So go ahead and, you know, shoot me an email. First one that gets in will get that. And I will go ahead and wrap this up. So until next time, y'all have a good one.
All right, sorry about that. I know everyone's closing out. My computer just decided to reboot again. So with that said, folks, thanks for hanging out with us. I'm just going to close the show because, well, I think my computer has finally had it. I'm glad we got through all the stuff with Wayne and Hank before it officially died. But, you know, just the price you pay, unfortunately. Let's see if we can get this thing all the way loaded up so I can actually close out the show here. Let's see if we can find some music here. And if not, we'll close the show just the same. All right, folks. Thanks for hanging with us. We'll have some big announcements next week for you. We got a lot of happening with Draper's Barbecue. I will definitely be pulling everybody in on what's going on with that. Until then, we'll play Megadeth.